Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
I'm sure many people think about hair loss and balding as perhaps a mostly male problem, but there are a lot of women who've experienced hair thinning and hair loss too. And here to talk us through some of the issues that cause hair loss and thinning and some of the solutions, we hope too, we have Claire Fulham, who's a clinical trichologist at Trua.ie. That's Trua.ie. Claire, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you with us. Look, hair thinning and hair loss, it can affect people in a lot of ways. It's not just a cosmetic thing, is it?
No, definitely not. Like, we see people who can't leave the house, who had to leave jobs, who marriages have broken down over their hair loss. I know people, unfortunately, have taken their lives because of their hair loss. So I think it kind of gets this name as a bit of a cosmetic, a bit of a vanity thing. But the mental health implications of losing hair, quite significant amount of hair, is huge on people's lives.
You know, and is there a lot that can be done?
There's a lot that can be done. Yeah, I wouldn't have a job if there wasn't. There's loads that can be done. It depends on the type of loss, you know. There's certain alopecias out there that are called, there's scarring alopecias, like frontal fibrosing alopecia, lichen planoplanaris. They're scarring alopecias, so you won't get that hair back. But there's, I mean, tens of other alopecias that you absolutely can, you know, really recover the hair. I mean, I lost 90% of my hair in 5 weeks, nearly 9 years ago. And
you're sitting here with long, flowing, golden... Well, your hair is, what colour would you describe that?
It's kind of auburn.
Auburn hair. I mean, your hair is absolutely beautiful. But you
Thank
went
you.
Through this yourself then, 9 years ago.
Yeah, and that's what led me, I suppose, to trichology and doing what I do now. And I really have built the business from that kind of side of empathy, you know, because we can all learn anything, Claire. I'm a big believer in that, right? But when you really, truly understand some of the problems that people face, I think you do a better job that way, you know. So there's loads of help out there, you know, and I think it's we shouldn't be embarrassed by it anymore. There's so many people talking about it. There's a huge online community to do with hair loss as well. So if you have trouble, contact a trichologist.
So you have mentioned loads of different types of alopecia there. Can you say in general what causes it?
They're autoimmune conditions, a lot of those type of conditions. Like mine was alopecia areata. I suffer with that all the time. I get patches regularly on my scalp. And most of those conditions, like frontal fibrosing alopecia, they're caused by an autoimmune condition in the body. Really difficult to control. An autoimmune condition in the body, you know. Then you have different types of loss, like a lot of women that are going through perimenopause, menopause, hormonal changes coming on and off the pill after babies. Like, it's so normal for us to shed some hair, you know, during those times. And there's loads of stuff that you can do, you know, for that too. But there's a big difference between hair loss and hair thinning. All of our hair will thin, you know, the same way as our bum and our boobs aren't in the same place anymore. Do you know that kind of way? Your hair will thin over time, you know.
But and it's normal as well. So you'll normal. Notice it when you're washing your hair, you'll probably get a handful of hair. That's normal,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. You should lose somewhere between 50 and 100 hairs a day. So somebody with red hair or curly hair or denser hair, they've about 80,000 follicles in their scalp. And then you've got the blonde Mary down the road. She's about 150,000 follicles in her scalp. But Mary would look like she'd less hair than me, but I actually have less follicles than her. Mary will lose about 100 hairs a day. She has to actually, to be able to continue to, you know, replace the hair that she's lost. And I lose about 50 to 60 hairs a day. And that's totally normal. And you can't grow hair without losing hair, you know. So that hair in the hairbrush, hair in the pillow, hair in the shower, totally normal, you know. But when there's a change within that for maybe about 3-4 weeks and you've seen that, oh no, this isn't the way it was last week, you know, that's when maybe you should try and do something about it.
Right,
you
so
know?
What is that something that you can do about it?
There's loads of different, you know, lotions and potions out there. I suppose really, I would say scalp health has to come first. Like, we're big into our hair care, you know, we use it, we spend a lot of money in the salons getting our hair the perfect blonde or the perfect auburn or whatever it is, and we spend a lot of time in that. But actually, you can't have healthy, gorgeous hair without scalp health. Does that make sense? That's where your hair grows from, you know.
I wouldn't know what to do now in relation to my scalp. So what does that mean?
Do you know what you should do? Exfoliate your scalp. So important. Once a week, that's all you need to do.
With what?
With a scalp exfoliator, you know, a chemical exfoliant, something.
Sounds a bit sore.
It's not. No, doesn't it? It does sound a bit scary, but you lean on acids the same way as, Claire, you probably use acids on your skin to a certain degree.
I don't, because I'd be be absolutely allergic to them.
Yeah.
But you're saying that we should sort of do a deep cleanse on the scalp.
That's
is that it?
Yeah. So a deep cleanse of the scalp and using acids like glycolic, salicylic, lactic acid. They're so safe. Like I use them on my face all the time. And what you're doing there is like taking all the stuff out of the follicle. Like your scalp is skin. So you wash your face, you know, probably twice a day. You have a shower every day. But if people are allergic to washing their hair, you know, and there's this narrative as well that's been created that, you know, you don't need to wash your hair very regularly. You absolutely do because your scalp is skin, you know. So washing your hair more regularly, exfoliating your scalp and spending a bit more money on your scalp than you would on your hair. I always say scalp care is like skin care and hair care is like makeup. We need makeup. We need hair care.
So look for a scalp exfoliator.
Yes.
But be careful, I would say, to start. Would you agree?
100%.
Gentle.
So quite like a retinoid. You'd start off quite low. You'd leave it on for 2 minutes, let's say, and then you'd rinse it out and wash your hair. But for me, I'd leave it on for 10 minutes, do you know?
Well, you're used to it then, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that'd be, I mean, if everyone listening to this now grabbed a scalp exfoliator, I'd be happy. That's the baseline of scalp care. Your shampoo will work better, you know, your hair will perform better if that's all you did. But trying to, you know, imagine that your scalp health should come before, I should say, any cut, any curl, any colour. That's the most important thing
right,
you can
gosh,
do.
Right, gosh, this is a revelation. So we've started now with scrubbing the scalp, making sure it's good and clean. What other lifestyle changes can we make to look after the hair that we have?
Making sure that we, come here, it's so hard, but to reduce levels of stress. Like stress is the biggest, you know, killer of the hair, 100%. When you're stressed out, you create a hormone called noradrenaline. It's the opposite to adrenaline. So adrenaline's the lovely one when you see that like light flashing on air, right? It's an excitement that builds within you. Noradrenaline's the opposite. So that will, one of its first jobs will go straight up to the hair follicle and shrink the follicle. If your follicle or your bulb is really small, it's so much easier for it to get out of the scalp. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's sliding out there, yeah.
Stress is a big one, you know. Lifestyle changes, like looking at your habits. You know, we always say in trichology, when it comes to your diet, let's say, addition rather than restriction. You know, I see a lot of patients with disordered eating that come to us, all that kind of stuff, because they're not getting the nutrients within the diet. So important to make sure that you have that balance to a certain degree. But adding, you know, seeds to your porridge instead of not eating the porridge, that would be our message, you know, to try and make sure that you've a nice, you know, varied diet would be important.
Okay, what about medications then to treat this? And I know that you're not a prescribing clinician. That's not your job. But are there medications that people can use and do use?
Yeah, absolutely. Minoxidil is probably the most popular. So men and women can take minoxidil. You can take oral tablets or you can use, you've probably heard of like Regain or Rogaine in the pharmacy. So that has minoxidil within it. What I'd be really careful of is that it is a drug, you know, and any drug has a side effect. So I'd hate to see young women, you know, in their 20s after a stressful time of their exams running and getting minoxidil. You definitely don't need it. You know, after a certain age, you know, maybe after childbearing age and stuff, minoxidil will come into a woman's life if she wanted to. And it's really popular with men. You know, most men that we treat would be on minoxidil, both oral and topical as well. And another drug that only men can take, of course, is finasteride. And that would be a really popular one. Again, that's an oral drug. Mm. So there is, but also a lot of hair, a lot of medications can cause thinning and hair loss too, you know. So we do have to be careful of that, you know, and there's not much we can do with that because it's kind of like swimming against the waves a little.
And there are cosmetic procedures and we've heard about hair transplants as well. And of course, wigs.
Yeah.
People can use those as well. And people get to that point. When do you recommend to people that they should think about investing in a wig?
I think it's a real personal choice. Like I remember I had to be pulled like kicking and screaming to get my first wig, you know, and it was a really, really difficult day, you know, and I had a love-hate relationship with it. So I think it's a really personal time. But if you feel like you can't leave the house or you can't do day-to-day things without hair, I definitely think it's time to look at that option. Mm-hmm. It could be temporary, please God, you know, it's just a temporary fix for a lot of people.
Okay, well look, it's been great to meet you, Claire. Thank you very much for all of that advice. And a reminder again that Claire's website is trua.ie, and of course, if you're experiencing any issues with hair loss, your first point of call is probably going to be your GP. Thank you very much, Claire, for coming in.